Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast. I am this week's host, Brian Stone, the Georgia Southern writer for Underdog Dynasty. Your normal main host, Matt Miguez, is out. I think aliens kidnapped his dog or something like that. I don't know. That was the reason he gave me. But joining me this week, Georgia State and Georgia Southern contributing writer Zeke Palermo. Zeke, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. It's been a couple weeks, but it's good to be back on.
For sure. So let's just go ahead and get right to it. Just recapping week 11's slate of games. Let's start from the top. The game that you ended up recapping, is it too much to say that this is the most impactful win in Georgia State's program history? Georgia State beats Coastal Carolina 42-40. Zeke, kind of give me your take on this game and how it all played out.
So, first off, very important win just for the program. Georgia State still very fresh, relatively speaking. I believe this is their 12th season with a football program, and this is their beating Coastal as their first win over a ranked opponent after having come real close against North Carolina, Auburn, Louisiana earlier this year. They finally got that win, and it was a weird game for sure. You know, Coastal Carolina still trying to figure it out without Grayson McCall. Georgia State, I mean, I can't make heads or tail of this team. I've been covering them all year. It's a Jekyll and Hyde every week. So very important win for Georgia State. You know, they stay in bowl contention with two relatively easy games on the horizon. But for Coastal Carolina, you know, they slipped down the standings, but I mean, it's still Coastal, you know. You have those weeks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's got to be the biggest win for Georgia State in their program history. Coastal, I mean, okay, so Coastal now falls to two conference losses. You know, App still has to play Troy and Georgia Southern the next 2 weeks to close out the year. But, I mean, effectively, this pretty much ended any chances, I think, that Coastal had of making the Sun Belt title game as a representative for the Eastern division. You know, they were having to kind of cross their fingers and hope that App slipped up if they even won out. And just the fact that Coastal lost, I mean, this effectively eliminates them from contention there. So Matt will be happy. He does not like Coastal by any stretch of the imagination, although I said this to him last week. I said, be careful what you wish for if you want to face App State in the title game. That might come back to bite you. But getting into this one, you know, Darren Granger had a really good game, 18 of 24 for two touchdowns, 198 yards passing. Zeke, I had watched Darren Granger play the last couple weeks against, you know, the last couple games, rather, against Southern, Georgia Southern, Louisiana. My biggest gripe with him when I watched him is it felt like he was just completely oblivious to pressure up front. How was he able to kind of work around that and make Coastal pay through the air?
So with Darren Granger, and you know, you see this very, very common with our group of five quarterbacks, is they are very, very adept at their feet. You know, they're guys that can rely on their feet to get themselves out of trouble. You know, at the high school level, right, you just kind of run away, gain 20 yards. And to a certain extent, that's very doable when we're at this level of football. And Georgia State, against other opponents, You said you've watched in the past couple of weeks, you'll know Georgia State's got a very, very good offensive line. They're incredible in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And so when Georgia State comes up against these opponents, these Coastals, these Louisianas, teams that have frightening front sevens, you know, that penetrate that backfield, Granger's just kind of left to, you know, panic mode, right? Roll out, try to create something up with his feet. And that's his biggest issue, I think, right now. And what's holding him back from really taking that next step as a quarterback is the inability to, you know, step up, climb the ladder, or stay in the pocket, find the next guy.
Yeah, I said this when I watched the Georgia State Georgia Southern game. The times where Georgia Southern got pressure, Darren Granger looked like a deer in the headlights. Like he had no clue what to do. And I mean, you watched that game as well. The first half, I mean, he was absolutely awful of that game. Do you agree, right? Like,
Yeah, without question. That was a second half performance from the Panthers that won them that game.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, credit to him coming out and being able to beat Coastal. I do just want to wrap up by asking you this question. How much of this do you attribute, and obviously a lot of it's on Coastal's defense if you're allowing 42 points, but how much of this do you kind of chalk up to the fact that Grayson McCall wasn't able to go?
I don't know how much of an impact that had because, you know what, they scored 40 points against a team. Obviously, Georgia State's Army was an ugly defensive performance, as was South Carolina, but this Georgia State defense is respectable. You know, you've got to take them for they're better than the numbers indicate. So the fact that they were able to put up 40 points, I mean, that's not small potatoes. You'd love McCall, you know, locker room guy. He's been there, right? All the adages about having your number one quarterback, but they looked fine without him, and just defensively were unable to keep the Panthers from moving down the field.
Yeah, for sure. So with that, Georgia State moves to 5-5 this season, 4-2 in Sun Belt play. Coastal Carolina drops to 8-2, 4-2 in conference play, and now have to hope that App State drops their next two consecutive games in order to propel Coastal to the Eastern, you know, division title and even the Sun Belt title game. Like I said, the chances of that happening are extremely tiny at this point. But speaking of Appalachian State, they come out on Saturday and absolutely wallop South Alabama at home 31-7. You know, Desmond Trotter had to play once again over the injured Jake Bentley for the Jaguars. And it did not go well. He threw, you know, two interceptions, including one was a 100-yard pick six for App State. And, I mean, App just pretty much flexed their muscles all over over South Alabama in this one. So kind of give me your take on this game.
I was – the most surprising thing for me about this game was Chase Bryce's performance. And I mean, they get away with the win, 31-7, incredible. But Chase Bryce, for a guy that wants his name to be in the conversation for best quarterback in the Sun Belt, you know, one of those guys when it comes to who are the best players in the Sun Belt, he was only 14 for 26 passing, two touchdowns, but two interceptions. I was drastically unimpressed by Chase Bryce's performance. And I mean, credit where credit is due, Mountaineers were able to still get nearly 140 rushing yards, carried the ball, I think, for about 4 yards per carry. But Chase Bryce, I mean, you're talking about the walloping. The scoreboard shows that, but as a performance, not impressed.
Yeah, I said this a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week, that Chase Bryce sneakily picks the teams that are in the lower rungs of the conference to have his worst games against. Mm-hmm. Like outside of the Louisiana game, which he was absolutely dreadful against Louisiana when they played on like a Tuesday night, I believe it was, or something like right. that. Outside of that, if you go back and look at his game logs, I mean, it's so weird how he has his worst games against non-impressive teams but the team overall is just so talented that it ends up not mattering. You know what right. I mean? So it's like, you know, I'm looking at some of his previous games. Arkansas State, who has the worst defense in the country, I think, statistically. Last week they won 48-14. He throws for 163, one touchdown and one pick. The last 2 weeks combined, he has three touchdowns and three interceptions in his last two games. So I guess if you're an App fan, you have to just cross your fingers and hope that he turns in kind of a Coastal Carolina esque type of performance in the Sun Belt title game that you are almost certainly going to at this point. Right. But I mean, we saw it once already against the Cajuns. Like, he can be a liability. I mean, he can be a turnover machine. And I think if they don't end up winning the Sun Belt, he's going to be a huge reason why.
Yeah, they've got at Troy and hosting Southern, Georgia Southern, the rest of that way, which should be an opportunity for him to, you know, catch that rhythm. But, like you're saying, looking at the schedule, his game logs, will he be able to flow into that momentum leading into the conference championship? I'm just very, very unsure about that.
I think if and Louisiana kind of did this when they played App earlier this year, they just took away the run and dared Chase Bryce to beat them through the air, and mm-hmm. and he just couldn't do it. I mean, in that game he threw for 133 and two picks, didn't throw a touchdown. I mean he had two of his best games back to back against Coastal and ULM. And then he's kind of back in that weird slump mode. So we'll see if they can break out of that. He's got two more weeks to kind of get his mind right because, I mean, let's be honest, games against Troy and Georgia Southern are kind of foregone conclusions at this point. App is much better than both of those teams. So, but moving on past this game, South Alabama drops to 5-5, 2-5 in conference play. App State moves to 8-2, 5-1 in conference play. The next game of the night was the one that I was glued to, but also I just couldn't wait for this game to be over. Georgia Southern beats Texas State, rather, 38-30. Zeke, I don't know how much of this game you caught because I'm fairly sure the Georgia State game was going on at the same time roughly as this game, but this was one of the most sloppily played games I've seen in a long time. In my recap, I said, you know, this game, Georgia Southern may have come away with the win, but this game set the sport of football back a couple years with just how neither team could conceivably do much right. It seemed like both of them were tripping over their own feet at times. The one bright spot, Georgia Southern, was freshman quarterback Cam Ransom, who got knocked out of this game with a shoulder injury, but was 7 of 12 for 125 and a touchdown. He looked really good, and I think he deserves a shot at the job full-time once Clay Helton and company kind of come in and get their offense installed.
Yeah. Something, you know, more anecdotal about this game, something that I absolutely love. And you're right, I didn't watch a ton of the game, but even going in, you can kind of predict this was two extremes of offensive ideologies. Texas State passed the ball 46 times. Georgia State ran the ball, I think, 43 is what my notes have.
Yeah, Georgia Southern.
Yeah. That's just – that contrast is fascinating to me. I did read your recap, and I watched the highlights. Not a lot to love about that game, but I think, you know, now Spavital at Texas State, one step closer to being out the door. And it's good for Helton to get that first win.
Well, technically it's not going to go on his resume. He doesn't take over till 2022, but,
oh really? Are they still rocking with the defensive back coach?
Yes. They have to have their interim for the rest of the year, but,
okay. Gotcha. I'm sorry.
There's some rule on like the number of coaches you're allowed to have on a staff, and they're at that capacity. So Helton is out on the recruiting trail and apparently evaluating practices and games, but he's not doing any actual coaching. But okay. The funny thing was, you know, you mentioned how much Texas State threw the ball. I was trying to make the argument in my recap. They didn't throw the ball enough. I mean, if you look at their stats, mm-hmm. 35 carries for 78 yards. They ran for 2.2 yards per carry. And Tyler Vitt was kind of carving Georgia Southern up. And then it felt like as soon as he started to gain some momentum, Spavadal would turn around, run the ball twice, and put them in a third and long that they couldn't bail themselves out of. So it was a weird, it was almost like two teams going, you take it. No, you take it. No, I insist. it was kind of that way, because it's like when Justin Tomlin comes in for Southern, he's like an absolute turnover machine. And he threw a nice touchdown pass that was wide open. But then the next series, I think he came down and just threw another back-breaking pick. And from that point on, I was like, if Southern loses this game, it's because Cam Ransom got knocked out with a shoulder injury. But they did enough to win. Like I said, very sloppy game. Both teams blocking punts, returning those for touchdowns. Texas State maybe had the worst fake punt that I've ever seen in my life, where their punter decided he was going to roll out, and he's like a rugby style punter, and he took three steps and fell flat on his butt, and so Georgia Southern took over from I think the Texas State like 25 at one point. It was just the stats don't tell the whole story. You had to watch this game to see how ugly it was, and the announcers, woof. I've never seen announcers so just blatantly root for one team. Like they every time Texas State like would make a penalty or something, one of the announcers was like, "Come on, boys, we got this." And I was just like, I understand this is ESPN Plus. I understand this is not the big time, but this is kind of ridiculous. And
yeah,
I mean, one of our old writers, Vidal Espinoza, who's a Texas State guy, I was tweeting him on Saturday and I said, I almost respect how blatant your announcers are just rooting for the Bobcats. Like, I almost have to respect it. But in that one, Georgia Southern moves to 3-7, picks up their second Sun Belt win of the season. Texas State, like you said, Spavadal very much marching towards the end of his tenure, 3-7 as well, 2-4 in Sun Belt play. The next game, Louisiana defeats Troy 35-21. We got good Levi Lewis this week. You never know which side of him you're going to get. Threw three touchdown passes. The funny thing is, when Matt comes on and hosts this show, they'll win a game by two scores, and he'll talk about how bad they looked. So
yeah.
I wish I had these kind of problems as a Georgia Southern fan.
Yeah, it's important for them to come out and win after win by a margin that's greater than, you know, 3-4 points after letting Georgia State hang around for four quarters last week. That's just crucial in terms of like, are we legit? Yeah, they're legit. Still undefeated. I mean, you're in the West Division, which is monumentally worse than the East Division when it comes to the Sun Belt.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, without it, no one will fight you on that. But not much to add. It was, like you said, it was Levi Lewis finally showing up, right? That Jekyll and Hyde kind of deal. Thinking forward three or four weeks from now, when we get to the Sun Belt championship game, and it's Levi Lewis and Chase Bryce, mm-hmm. you know, the story could just be which guy shows up. You know, both of them are 50-50 on any given week. So I think that's something to keep an eye on for both teams moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the last matchup between App and Louisiana, it was Levi Lewis showed up, but it was one of those performances where you'd have to watch the game to understand like what he contributed. They ran the ball effectively as a team, but it was really his ability to kind of push the ball down the field that backed App off the line of scrimmage and allowed them those running lanes. And like I said earlier, you know, Chase Bryce could not stop turning the football over. But yeah, I mean, we're on a collision course for Louisiana App in the Sun Belt title game. like you said, not a ton to add here. Gunnar Watson threw for 350, but they were down, I think, 28-13 at one point, made a little bit of a comeback bid, and then Montrell Johnson, with 5 minutes left, just kind of slammed the door on him and made it the final score 35-21. But Louisiana moves to 9-1 this season, 7-0 in Sunbelt play. Troy drops to 5-5, 3-3 in conference play. I personally don't know how you feel about this. Let me go ahead and ask you, how hot do you think Chip Lindsey's seat should be as the Troy head coach? Because we're going on year 2 or 3 of his tenure, I'm not exactly sure, and they've not really been what they were under former coach Neil Brown, which was a Sunbelt title contender.
Right. So it's important to remember, obviously, within Sunbelt play, Troy's what? Are they 2-3 or 3-2 rather?
They are now 3-3.
3-3. I mean, obviously, you want to be winning records, right? You want to be above 500, but considering the other teams that are in the East, the teams they've got to be playing, like Louisiana and Coastal and, you know, Georgia State is a respectable team, and Southern shows up on, you know, certain weeks. So it's not like above 500 in the Sun Belt Eastern Division is a cakewalk. You know, college football is a very fickle sport. You know, they trade head coaches like it's like they're, you know, trading cards, baseball cards. But do I think Lindsey's seat should be hot? It should be warm, but he may be approaching his final, if not his penultimate season.
Yeah, just for context, he's in the middle of year 3. His record as a head coach at Troy is 15-18, and he has a 9-12 record at this point in conference play. So I think it should be getting hot. You know, Neil Brown left a pretty tough to live up to kind of rep for Troy, and they haven't been that under Chip Lindsey. So we'll see kind of if he sticks around for year 4, because the results on the field really haven't been there. But moving on to the last game, Arkansas State picks up their first Sunbelt win of the season, surprisingly, over UL Monroe, 27-24. I had picked this as my upset of the week because UL Monroe had a couple of nice games middle of the year. But they seem to have kind of fallen back into that, you know, pattern that they had been earlier this season. And I thought Arkansas State was going to score some points. I didn't know if UL Monroe was going to be able to match them score for score. But it really was that 10-point run to end the game with Lane Hatcher throwing a touchdown, Blake Group A kicking the game winner with 1:17 left. Zeke, what did you kind of take away from this game for both teams?
You know, finally, it's great to get that first conference win for Arkansas State. Even if it's over the likes of ULM, you know, you want that first win, right? Good for, is it Butch Jones is there? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Butch Jones.
Butch Jones. It was interesting that they managed to get their first win scoring only 27 points, right? The DNA of this team is supposed to be hyper-offensive. We're going to outscore you. They only put up 3 touchdowns, which I just thought was a little bizarre and not reflective of what this team strives to do week in, week out. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, did they really deserve to win this game if they're supposed to be winning games with over 40 points scored? You know, is it really – did Arkansas State win this game, or did UL Monroe were they unable to get the offense clicking? And, but it was a fun game to look back on. You know, that's part of Butch Jones' Arkansas State. So they're just going to throw the rock and they're going to make you have fun watching it, whether you want to or not. But I was, I mean, that's really all I've got to say, is just very curious about the scoreline rather for that game.
Yeah, the funny thing about this game was both of these teams Arkansas State was known as a team that scored a ton of points and couldn't stop anybody on defense. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, like you said, they really only scored the 3 touchdowns, and they were down even 21-10 to ULM with 10 minutes left in the third quarter and ended up, you know, scoring, what was it, 17 over the final 22 minutes of game time. So they really, like, cut the Jets on offensively, and it was a they were able to kind of gut this one out. But good win for noted champion of life, Butch Jones and his crew. Yeah, so Arkansas State moves to 2-8 this season, 1-5 in Sun Belt play. And then UL Monroe drops to 4-6 and then 2-5 in conference play. So looking at week 12, let's go ahead and get into this. All these times are Eastern Standard Time. 1 o'clock is our first kick on Saturday. Texas State travels to Conway to take on Coastal Carolina. I have not heard an update on Grayson McCall's status at this point. You know, 2 weeks ago, it sounded like he was out for the season. Now they made it seem like he was a week or two away from returning. So who really knows what's up with that upper body injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago. But I don't honestly think they're going to even need him. I mean, Texas State, you know, Georgia Southern just played Texas State. Texas State's going to shoot themselves in the foot as much as they want to. So I think Coastal wins this game going away. I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
You're spot on. You know, it's Coastal Carolina and Texas State, right? If you know anything about what these teams are, I mean, you know, Coastal Carolina is going to walk away with this game. If speculating on Grayson McCall, obviously, you know what, we're not going to know until injury reports come out, probably not until, you know, Thursday, Friday, or rather we probably won't know till tomorrow or kickoff, but you're right. They're not going to need him. Don't press the issue and make it worse for him. You know, get up your one or two touchdowns early and just kind of pound the ball, drain the clock. It'll be a pretty open and shut game very quickly.
Yeah, I don't see Coastal having too much trouble with Texas State. I would probably not touch the line because it's Coastal Carolina minus 24. That's a lot of points. And I don't know if Bryce Carpenter is starting. I don't know that I could trust him to outscore Texas State by 24. So I probably wouldn't touch this game if I was betting on it. The next game on the slate, 2 o'clock, Arkansas State travels to Atlanta to take on Georgia State. I'm not going to call for the upset, but I think this one's going to be closer than the line indicates. Georgia State's a 16.5-point favorite. I think Georgia State has a little bit of a letdown spot following their biggest win in program history. I think this one's closer than the line would indicate, but I do think the Panthers end up winning the game.
I'm agreeing with you on the line. As we just talked about with Arkansas State, you know, they're that hyper-offensive score you until you can't score anymore kind of offense. That Georgia State, I feel... You know, if UL Monroe was able to keep the Red Wolves to 27, I think Georgia State can keep them under 30, 35. But to that point, Arkansas State is going to let Georgia State score as much as they want. Problem is, Georgia State does not like to score. they've been allergic to the end zone this season. They score just enough to win. They'll take deep shots to, you know, get a 30-yard gainer, but... I'm with you. You know, give me the Panthers by 8 or 9, but I'm not putting any money line or the spread on this game.
Yeah, 16.5 is a lot. And I'm not saying you can't trust Georgia State, but I just think
you can't.
Yeah, but I still, as little as I trust Georgia State, I trust Arkansas State even less. But I think 16.5 is a ton. For these two kind of middle of the road ish sun to lower tier Sun Belt teams. So, moving on, 3:30 kickoff. App State travels to Troy. App State is a 10-point favorite. App State has been killer as far as covering spreads this year. I think 10 points honestly isn't enough. App State 7-3 as a team against the spread this year. So I like App minus 10. I think they beat Troy by 2 to 3 touchdowns. I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, Troy's got a very solid defense. But I think I've come on this podcast and said it before. I'm going to say it again. There is a clear tier shift between the different teams in the Sun Belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 8-2 overall App State versus 5-5 Troy. Two to three touchdowns feels – I would be comfortable around the 17-point range if we're going to talk spread for App State. But it's just, can you pick yourself up after getting beat down by UL?
Yeah, I mean, obviously every game matters for App at this point. I don't see them having a letdown for the rest of the year. They need to win every single game because, like I said, you know, they win this one or the Georgia Southern game, they're in the Sun Belt title conversation or the title game. So they can't afford to drop a game anywhere. So I think they pretty much run all over Troy. I don't think Troy has enough to keep up with what App State has on either side of the ball. Our next game, 4 o'clock kickoff, Georgia Southern welcomes in the highest ranked FBS team to ever play in Paulson Stadium, number 14, BYU. Zeke, let me ask you a question before I kind of go into my pick on this one. Do you like free money?
I'm a big fan of free money.
Okay, BYU minus 20 is the freest money you will get all year. You might as well walk over to a bank and slide them a note that says put the money in the bag, because Georgia Southern is either starting a freshman that has an AC joint injury in his throwing shoulder, or a guy that has a 2 to 12 career touchdown to interception ratio.
Oh.
So those are their offensive quarterback options. Mm-hmm. As a team, they've picked off 5 passes all season long as a defense. One of them came last week. The last one before that came in week 5 against Arkansas State. So give me BYU minus 20. I think they absolutely roll Georgia Southern here. Southern doesn't have anything. My recap for everybody who's listening, we're recording Thursday night. My recap comes up Friday morning. Georgia Southern doesn't have anything from a talent perspective, coaching perspective, certainly not coaching perspective, to keep up with BYU. I don't see a way that it happens.
Yeah, you're the Georgia Southern guy, so I'm gonna, you know, let you have your pedestal here, but I'm very curious how Southern managed to get such a high profile opponent this late in the season, right? You knock these out of conference games out and at the beginning of the schedule. But there are 3 teams, and we'll get to those later. But BYU in week 12 is just interesting and curious how that scheduling process went down.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those situations that it was scheduled a long time ago. I don't even think people in Provo anticipated BYU being ranked 14th right now. And I think the other thing that kind of played into Georgia Southern's hands on getting a home-and-home scheduled is the fact that BYU, I mean, what are they? Are they an independent? I can't remember.
I believe they are independent, yes.
Okay. So independents just have to schedule who they can schedule. Because, like I said, you know, it's not like you have conference play to fall back on. So you either go one of 2 directions. You schedule who you can schedule, like this game, or you just have to beg the big boys to take you on 1 week and let you play the Southern Cows and the, you know, whatevers of the world just to fill out a schedule. So it seemed like they kind of went with, you know, a little bit of both. But, yeah, a great game for Georgia Southern to get BYU to come there. I think the on-the-field results are not going to be as great. So, like I said, BYU minus 20 feels like the most free money you would ever receive. The next game, also 4 o'clock kick, Louisiana travels to Lynchburg, Virginia to take on Liberty. Liberty's a 4.5-point favorite. I like the Cajuns plus 4.5. I like them outright. I think they win the game. Liberty has not really impressed me at all this season. I think Malik Willis has taken a step back. I don't know if people don't watch Liberty's games or what, but I had this talk with Matt last week. Pro Football Focus was absolutely just drooling at what Malik Willis could do in the pros when they played Ole Miss, and then they ignored the fact that he threw three picks in that game. So I don't know what their deal is, but give me Louisiana plus 4.5. I think they win this game outright.
Yeah, Liberty is one of those teams I feel is always in the conversation for best of, like, non-SEC, non-Big 12 teams. But to your point about just being unimpressed, looking at their schedule, right? They're 7-3, but they beat Old Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Middle Tennessee State. They beat UMass, the worst team in the country.
I mean, they lost to UL Monroe.
Right, they lost to UL. They lost to Syracuse. This feels like a team they're a good football team. Do not get me wrong, but can they hang with Louisiana for four quarters? Not a chance.
No, I mean, if you go through, you were looking at their schedule. Their most impressive win to me is at UAB. And then the rest of their schedule is just kind of to me, because it's like anytime they faced any path of resistance, they lost. You know, I'm sure they didn't expect ULM to give them a game, and they lost. Syracuse, they've scheduled, you know, two games against Syracuse. They've lost them both, and Syracuse is no world beater in college football. So, I think Louisiana wins this game outright. I think Liberty. I said this last week. I think that bowl game last year between Liberty and Coastal, I don't know what happened, but it seems like both of those teams have taken a serious step back this year overall. Like I said, give me the Cajuns. Next game, 7:30 at night, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, Tennessee. South Alabama travels to take on UT. Tennessee, 28-point favorites. I think this is going to be a matchup between two teams to see who's more deflated, because Tennessee just got absolutely rocked by Georgia last week, and then South Alabama just got rocked by App, who was essentially the Georgia of the Sun Belt, I would say. So
that's a little extreme, but I'll let you have that one.
I mean, you know, they haven't lost a conference game yet this year. They lost to Louisiana, but I just think that I don't see a way that South Alabama gets within striking distance of Tennessee in this game.
I mean, it's Tennessee, right? They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. They're just a better football team. You talked about who can bounce back better, but Tennessee could play at, you know, 75%, right? And still walk away with a comfortable win over South Alabama.
Yeah, the difference in recruiting and just talent level from the SEC to what we see weekly in the Sun Belt is just night and day. Mm-hmm. And I think, I think Josh Heupel is building something special in Knoxville. I think Tennessee is going to be in the in contention for the SEC East sooner rather than later. I think he just needs some time to get his guys in there, but yeah, give me Tennessee. I think they crush South Alabama if I had to take the points. Last game of the night, 9:00, interstate Louisiana battle. UL Monroe travels to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. LSU is a 29-point favorite in this game. LSU has had a very weird season. They started off, or they've lost their last three in a row. But if you look at who they lost to, you know, a two touchdown loss to Miss Ole Miss, who is perennially a top 15 team. They played Alabama right down to the wire, number two Alabama 20-14, and then last week they lost a field goal game to Arkansas, who's also ranked. I think LSU rolls in this one. They've started to do this weird thing under Orgeron where they know he's not coming back, but they seem to be playing better knowing that he's not returning, which I don't really understand how that happens, but I think LSU rolls here.
Yeah, it baffles me, and I'm sure there's some good financial or NCAA regulation for why Orgeron is still with the team, but it baffles me that LSU let that information get out. and then stuck with him, right? If you're gonna fire him, tell him, hey, this is your last one, and then say it at the end of the season. But to your point, the LSU, despite being 4-6, has played the past 3 weeks against three pretty tough opponents, including number two ranked Alabama. They've played pretty freaking well. And just like the last game we talked about, I mean, it's Sun Belt versus SEC. There is a distinct talent difference between these two teams, LSU by at least two scores.
I mean, it's one thing if Louisiana, you know, the Cajuns were playing in Baton Rouge against LSU. I mean, I would give them probably a better than average chance to upset in this game, but UL Monroe is on a downward trajectory. Like, they had a really nice middle of the season where they upset some teams like Liberty, but they seem to kind of just be falling back to where they have been historically the last couple years. So I think LSU just absolutely rolls. I don't think this is one particularly close. So wrapping up here, give me the one game of week 12 that you're looking forward to the most.
Game of the week, I guess, would be Arkansas State, Georgia State, just by default. Maybe Louisiana Liberty. There's nothing that else that really just screams like, hey, this is going to be a game you're able to sit down and watch for four quarters. So I'm going to be watching the Georgia State game regardless, but that's my take for game of the week, but not because it's a great game, just by default.
Yeah, I'm most interested in Louisiana and Liberty. It's a good matchup between two G5 teams. It probably helps that Georgia Southern's playing a team that's going to absolutely crush them. So when we hit halftime and the score is already, you know, lopsided, I can kind of sneak over to ESPNU and watch some of Louisiana Liberty and know that I'm not going to miss a whole ton in the Georgia Southern BYU game. But that pretty much wraps up week 12. Zeke, tell folks where they can find you on social media.
Post all my stuff on Twitter at Zeke Palermo, ZekePalermo. That's where all my stories go. As soon as they go up on Underdog Dynasty, Georgia State preview, review, and then other just Sun Belt stories. That's where you can find me on Twitter. And that's really all I'm on these days.
Yeah. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Watch the Stone. Like I said, all of my Georgia Southern stuff is going to go up. Preview goes up Friday. Recap will probably come shortly after this game. I've actually, Zeke, just in case you didn't know, I'd actually, up until last week against Texas State, because Georgia Southern finally won another game, I'd been hosting this Twitter space after the games where I let Georgia Southern fans just come in and vent about how the season's been going. So that's been one of the only fun things that has come from this terrible season for the Eagles. But Zeke, thanks for joining me, man. Awesome. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me. It's always a fun time, Brian.
All right. And this has been another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt Podcast.